He is one of the longest-serving governors in American history, a two-time presidential candidate, a top-rated Fox News Channel host, and all of that before being known as Sarah's dad. Governor Mike Huckabee, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
And, you know, Nick, I'm thinking we may have to change the open for this segment because Sarah may end up being one of the shortest serving governors in American history, because when Trump names her to the ticket, I mean, she's not even going to have been in office for 2 years at the time. So we're going to have to, Huckabee's longest and shortest serving governors in American history. Anyway, Governor Mike Huckabee is back with us. You trade that in for the vice presidency, right? If he said, Sarah, I need you to come help me make America great again, that would be understandable, right?
Well, you know, I think she's so focused on being governor, she doesn't even entertain the
great answer.
You know,
great answer, Governor. But that's not what I asked.
Yeah, but I don't think she's, she's even of the notion that it would make sense to barely be in office and then suddenly be thrust into that. There may come the time. Well, will come the time. But right now, I think she's got the integrity of understanding that she asked for a job that has a four-year deal, and she'll do that four-year deal. I'm always frustrated with people who run for an office, and as soon as they get sworn in, they start running for something else. And I'm thinking, I thought you told us you wanted this job. We gave it to you. Now, by gosh, do it.
Now, does that count if it's a second term?
Yes, it does. Now, here's what I would say. Clear. I think that any person holding office should be able to run for the office they currently hold. But if they want to run for an office they don't hold, while they're holding an office, they ought to have to resign that office in order to go and get the new job. Let me tell you this. You have a television and a radio show in Salem broadcasting.
Yes, yes.
If on any given day, the executives at Salem, who are very good people, and I know them, but if they found out that you were out interviewing with some other radio and television conglomerate and trying to pitch your job to another place, I'm going to tell you, they'd probably say, Kevin, if you're so anxious to leave where you are,
yeah, why don't you just go?
Yeah, we set you free, my brother.
I do think that the vice presidency is slightly different from the standpoint that you don't really campaign for that. That's something that when somebody's putting their team together, they tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I want you to help me do this job. And I think the best thing Sarah can do, whether she's tapped on the shoulder by Mr. Trump or not, is to make Arkansas as unflippin' believable as she can possibly make it. And she's doing it in very short order, as we are seeing already. But I will tell you that if he chose her, I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't shed one tear. I'd love to see a Huckabee on the ticket. And I think that the Trump Huckabee ticket could be very, very powerful. We'll have to leave that little discussion for another day. I just spoke with Keith Kellogg earlier in the show, and we talked a little bit about China. You just got back from Taiwan. What is going on there? And from your perspective, are they a people that are sensing that there is a war footing afoot from China themselves?
I mean, since the existence of Taiwan, when the Republic of China was formed and Chiang Kai-shek led the revolution to come there and break from the communists, there's always been nervous tension between the People's Republic of China, which is anything but, it's the communist version, and the Republic of China, which is Taiwan. And you can still sense it. And I think the saber rattling that China is doing now certainly creates a little bit of tension. But generally, the people of Taiwan are not panicked. They're working hard, building a phenomenal economy and a freedom-loving nation. It is a real oasis in the Pacific Rim for entrepreneurial activity, capitalism, and liberty. And it's one of those places where I wish more Americans appreciated what's happening on that little island. That aside, look, they have to always be vigilant, and they are being very careful, recognizing that because Putin basically got no resistance from the United States marching into Ukraine, other than we've given him some hardware, I think it's emboldened Xi a little bit in China to say, you know, as long as Joe Biden's in the White House, if we're going to make a move, this may be the moment.
Is there a sense that America, no matter how defunct and dysfunctional our current administration is there a sense that we will stand with Taiwan if China decides to go hostile?
I think generally the Taiwan people, and particularly their government officials, recognize that the U.S. has been one of the few friends they've had, albeit when Jimmy Carter had us walk out of the United Nations and that disgraceful action of denying our friendship with Taiwan so that we could give a big wet kiss to the communists. It still pains me to see that moment when they packed up their things and were forced to leave. But deep down, they know that both parties, and this is one of those rare things where Democrats and Republicans in America really agree that Taiwan is our friend and we must stand with them and make it clear that an attack on Taiwan, it's not quite NATO, not that we have a contractual obligation, but I think we have a moral obligation, and people recognize that we would not let the communists just roll over them without some level of intervention.
I know that this kind of irritates Xi. Are you in favor of our high-profile people being there and being there maybe more frequently now?
Absolutely, I am. I think we need to make it very clear that we embrace freedom. We embrace those who share the values that we have and upon which our country is built, and that we don't look the other way when people who believe in families and freedom are bullied. We just don't. It's the same thing. You're walking down the street and you see some thug who's beating up on a kid. Do you just get out your cell phone and take pictures and post it? Or do you intervene, even at the risk of your own life, to stop it? Well, I hope to God we have some people left in this country who would intervene to try to save the kid from having the sense beat out of him. Yeah. And that's how I'd like to think the United States will still behave in a situation like that.
Governor, what's on the big Huckabee Today broadcast this weekend?
Well, as you know, Congressman Mark Green has been down to the border this week holding hearings, pretty explosive hearings, when the Border Patrol chief basically said the border is out of control. Everything that Mayorkas is saying is not true. And this is the guy who works for Mayorkas, so it's pretty powerful. Well, Mark Green is going to be on our show. We'll be talking about that border crisis and the hearings that happened down there. We've got some great comedy on the show tonight. And Lily Knowles, who you remember from the Edwin Hawkins Singers, Oh Happy Day, and some great hits, she's going to be with us tonight, and she'll be rocking the house with some great old-fashioned gospel music.
That's Governor Huckabee, and you have to forgive him. He thinks it's Saturday because he just got off the plane from Taiwan. That's tomorrow night and Sunday, 8-11. And maybe I just threw him off with the whole vice presidential thing. I'm sorry, Governor. I didn't mean to mess you up. I know you're in a weird time zone. Anyway, thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure, Kevin. Thank you.
You got it. There he goes. Huckabee Today, 8-11, Saturday and Sunday. Check it out. And check out That Kevin Show on Salem News Channel in between 9 p.m. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.